Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our monthly managed care call. I'm joined today with Amerigroup on October 13th, 2021. We'll kick this off like we do every other meeting. It's been a couple months since we've had a call with Amerigroup individuals, so we're glad to have them back with us this month to answer some of our questions here as submitted by you all. I'll quickly go into the informational letters. I gave more of an overview in our previous call, so I won't take as much time to do that here because we have a lot of the same individuals. But since it's been a couple months, rate notices went out through informational letters for SNF providers for home health LUPA rates, and then also for waiver rates. Not much different as far as nursing facility and waiver rates. The big difference is that they were submitted to the MCOs in early August. So that is great news because normally those would not be received until CMS approval and possibly sometime in December or January when we would normally get those. So helpful in the sense that fewer retroactive claims will have to happen because of the release of those rates sooner than normal. So that's great news. As far as waiver rates, I just want to talk about that a little bit more because it's been a while since we've had our waiver rate increase. But how that will flow or how that should flow is if you had a rate set on 6/30, so June 30th of 21, that whatever rate that was, for your waiver services should have received a 3.55% increase, and then that will be your new rate. Chapter 79 has a rate listed for providers who did not have a rate set on June 30th. So that would most likely be new providers into the system. The rate listed there is the new maximum for those services. So just wanted to point that out. I have had some questions from providers who've maybe seen Chapter 79, the rate listed there. It's not matching up with what they're getting, but it does match up with a 3.55% increase from their rate that they had on June 30th. So I wanted to just point that out or talk about that quickly for you all, just to make sure that everyone's on the same page or the same understanding of how that should flow. And then there were a couple other info letters that came out. I know for those of you who've been on the call earlier in the chat, I know Julie posted the informational letter on Medicaid town halls. Those have been going on for September and October. So would encourage you to tune into those if you have questions either of the department or of the MCOs, although obviously you have the forum here with the MCOs. But that's a good place. You have Director Matney runs the calls, and so she's obviously the leader of Iowa Medicaid. So that's another option for you if you do have other questions that you'd like the department to answer. That's a good avenue for that. I know there's a link earlier in the chat for that. Annual provider training will be coming up. There is an informational letter 2270 about a survey to complete, to kind of determine what the content of that annual training should be. And I know that they're working now with the MCOs to determine a date for that annual training and then the content that will be presented based on some of the feedback from that survey. So we'll be looking for that here at the end of the year. And then, oh, there was an IL-2266 about third dose for immunocompromised individuals that you can check out as well. That would be to this provider type or these provider types here. So I would encourage you to look at that if that's something that would maybe meet the needs of some of your those that you care for. On that note, John, does anyone, do you or anyone else at Amerigroup have any opening comments that you'd like to make?
I just wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, we're still operating under special plan amendments, SPAs, and a lot of different COVID-related protocols with the Medicaid program. We're also tracking very closely to testing as well as vaccination. And we're having some technical difficulties. I'm getting flagged that Julie has just lost audio, and so she's dropping off and calling in by phone. That's Julie Stewart will be calling in by phone. So watch for her to come in that way, Brandon. The special protocols in Medicaid will extend 60 days beyond the pandemic. The national disaster declaration, and you know, we've seen indications that it'll go beyond the end of the year, but nothing formal has come out from the Biden administration. So we track to that very closely. The Director Matney and Director Garcia engaged both MCOs with a number of other stakeholders in regular conversations about vaccination rates among Medicaid members, and you know, that's, you know, facility based and non-facility based, and so we're tracking very closely to that with the best available data on member level vaccination, knowing that's not perfect. And I think those are the main highlights. We do track both the member and the provider town hall meetings. Director Matney has the MCOs on those meetings as representatives, and often throws that the microphone over to the managed care organization to respond. So those opportunities to raise questions and discuss ideas and policy solutions with the director. She's very open about that, encouraging to see that process move forward. I don't have any other high level updates from Amerigroup today, but I do want to do a quick round robin to see Julie Stewart if you have anything that you wanted to add today. And she may not have. Oh, she's there.
I did get back in on my phone. Thank you. Not really. I mean, I think I said it was probably 2 months ago where we were short staffed. We have everyone hired. We're just not up to full speed yet. But if you're wondering who your rep is, you can reach out to me. We are in the process of kind of finalizing everything. So we will be all back up and fully staffed, and it'll be clear who your contact is by mid-November. So we will address your issues, obviously, in the meantime, but it'll just be more clear, and you'll have one contact person by mid-November. Thank you for being patient.
Thanks, Julie.
Don, do you have any updates?
I don't have any updates. I think we have to take care of those HCBS ones. So.
Great. Thank you. Angela, do you have any updates?
I do not, thanks.
Okay, and Danielle, I see you've been able to join us. Do you have any updates?
Something quick. So we did send out new contracts for the Medicare amendment. If providers are interested or have not received it, they can reach out to me directly.
Awesome, thank you. I think that wraps up the opening remarks from Amerigroup. Brandon?
Thanks, John. And when you were talking about the whole continuing to operate under some COVID procedures, it made me remember, you know, there's obviously a lot of 1135 waivers that are still intact nationally. And one that we get asked quite often, and it's mostly from our home health individuals, is regarding telehealth. And we do have confirmation that that does extend through the federal health emergency. That has not been stopped because of any dropping off from the state health declaration. you know, individual amendments of that were falling off routinely over time, but the telehealth one does still remain intact and, through the federal emergency. So I wanted to make sure that that was out there for those individuals, since we do get questions on that for telehealth. Okay, so I know we have one, we had one question submitted ahead of time, and we did get a response on that, but either way, we'll ask it anyways, and I'll let you respond, John, if you don't mind. It's regarding assisted livings and the EVV system. Obviously, many of you know assisted livings and RCFs were not they were initially required to follow EVV protocol, and then towards the end of June were pulled out and said that they could sign a waiver or some kind of form stating that they use stiff shift workers to be able to exempt themselves from EVV. And so I think there were several or a lot of providers who ended up doing that. And so the question here is, they've opted out of EVV, but they, when they submit their claims, they're being denied for not being submitted through EVV. Is this information being relayed to Amerigroup, of which providers have opted out, and how is that process working, I guess, to so they're not denied in the first place? So I know we had a response, John. I don't know if you want to cover that.
Yeah, I just needed to get off mute and navigate over to the response that that was provided to us by our EVBSB. Yeah, you know, we are getting that information that, you know, the Amerigroup claim system was set up to allow the EVV exempted providers to submit claims outside of EVV and have been since July 1st. And to ensure accurate claims payment, Amerigroup sweeps all EVV submission error denial claims monthly, usually around the 15th of the month, to specifically identify assisted living facilities claims that should not have received this denial. From there, Amerigroup identifies and reprocesses the claims. We have identified in late August that roughly 95% of the denials were due to a manual claims processing error and assisted living facilities that were not identified. And AGP needed to add to the master assisted living exemption list. At that time, we worked with the claims team on retraining and ensured that the updated processing instructions were being used. Amerigroup continues to proactively monitor EVV submission error denials for appropriateness and plans to continue to do so. So for additional specific claims questions, agencies should reach out to their designated provider experience representative, you know, with some claims level information.
Awesome. Thanks, John. We'll go into the chat now. Go ahead.
Sorry,
can I just another comment? Yeah.
Piggyback off that. I think you said this, John, but I just wanted to reiterate too that we are capturing those every month. So just if you have a question, you should be able to contact your provider rep, and we can verify that it's already, you know, we're already on top of them. We're already reprocessing. There shouldn't be any work required of the providers until the permanent solution gets put in place.
Awesome. Thanks, Julie. So we'll flip over to the chat, and this question is, it's from a nursing facility, I'm pretty sure. Does Amerigroup have the 10-1 nursing facility rates loaded? And if not, do we know when they will be loaded? And those rates would have been distributed about the same time as the July 1st rates, so probably sometime in early August is when those would have been received.
I don't know without looking, to be honest. I would assume so, but I'll see if I can find it while we're still on the call.
Thanks, Julie. This next question is regarding the COVID relief rate. This provider is receiving recoupments for those payments. Their claims did have the DR code, the COVID diagnosis, and the dates of COVID positive in the remarks box. And they're disputing this recoupment because the person had COVID or they met the requirements of the COVID relief rate. Any thoughts, or is there a known issue with recouping these funds in error, or any comments on COVID relief rate recoupments?
I'll respond first, and then if Julie has anything additional. We have not heard of a known issue necessarily on this one. This is something that I think I would ask the provider to take claims level data to your provider solutions rep so that we can get that information and start working through to see what the issue really is there.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I haven't heard of that either. So we can have an example, then we can look into it.
Thank you. This claim is for home health. They're having issues with a claim being recouped for the XB problem. They were told to resubmit it as a corrected claim. They did that and denied for timely. They reached out to their rep multiple times and submitted the requested spreadsheet multiple times. They're not getting responses from Amerigroup the vast majority of the time when they reach out and need to get this claim reprocessed this month. Oh, I see Julie, you got a response in there. Sorry, I didn't scroll down far enough. And it sounds like a solution has been reached, or at least a comment has been released on that. So question of what do we do when our provider reps do not respond or do not get back to us? I think we've had this before, but any feedback, Julie, on that?
Nope, it's the same. You can reach out to me, and like I said, you know, we were down 4 people, but we will be fully staffed by November. So you should not have to reach out 3 or 4 times, but there's only so many hours in the day. So right. That will improve.
Yep. And I did put the link in case someone doesn't know of the provider experience individuals that I pulled from the Amerigroup website. So if you don't know who that is for you, I think this is the August 2021 copy. And so it's a couple months old, but I can't imagine it's extremely outdated by any means. And it sounds like
no,
it may be updating soon.
That is the most updated. And then it does not include the new people yet because they're not fully trained, but we are in the process of pulling them in. So if you reach out to the person on the map, it's possible that then we'll start working with the new person as well. So that is the most accurate information as of today. I don't want to put all my new people's names out there before they're fully trained and have them be inundated. This way you'll work with 2 people probably.
Awesome. No, that makes sense. This next question, I forgot that I had sent it to you this morning. It's on a dual eligible home health member who is having their claims rejected because they don't have a HIPS code on there. And they're saying that HIPS is not required for Medicaid claims. Were you able to research that at all, John, or anyone on your team about the potential reason for this kind of a denial? And if anyone's talking, they're muted.
Yeah, I know on the specific case that we were able to see what the issue is and put the request in for a resolution. From a system standpoint, I don't have anything to report today on what that overall fix will look like, but we have identified the issue on this particular one.
Thanks, John. Next question is on Part A and Part B coinsurance claims paying incorrectly. And the question, at what point is this going to be fixed for Amerigroup, as it's been going on for quite some time, it sounds like.
I don't have a good answer for that question today.
No, that's correct. I mean, we need more claims level data to understand what's going on with your individual provider and what's happening on the claims that provider's submitting. We've had this conversation for a while, and the last time we did, we reported out that our analysis indicate that some are denying incorrectly and some are denying correctly. And, there's no way for us to answer in a forum like this definitively without the provider following up with the provider solutions or provider experience rep with claims level data for us to research.
John, this is Leilani from Good Samaritan Society, and I can tell you that we've sent spreadsheet upon spreadsheet upon spreadsheet to our provider reps and have been having this issue for months. It's not incorrect denials. It's you guys paying on Part A claims that should be not be paid on, or overpaying Part B claims that should not be overpaid. So it's not a denial that we're asking about, and it's you guys have had all the data that you could possibly need. I mean, we've sent so many spreadsheets, it's not even funny. So we constantly get the answer, I don't know, I'm not sure. And it's getting to be extremely frustrating when that's the only answer that we can get. And we have to sit on these claims and these overpayments for months upon months upon months because you guys can't get it together to recoup the overpayments or just process them correctly to begin with.
And I think it says something for these to be overpayments, and we're passionate about getting paid accurately, because this would obviously be funds being taken back from providers, and we just obviously want it to be processed properly. And then I know that a response would be, you can always send back overpayments, but it does seem like when that does happen, we send a check back or, whatever that may be, the next month that claim reprocesses and then we're out what we've already refunded, and it's basically taken back double. And then we're in another bad situation where it's going to take several more months or years to get that result as well. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've had way too many circumstances where we've refunded overpayments to Amerigroup and then they've recouped them. We're actually still experiencing that on our side, where we've refunded payments back in 2020 and they're just now recouping them. So unfortunately, that's not an option for us. Brandon, the reasons you had explained, and also it creates a lot of administrative work for us to continuously have to follow up on these overpayments and just sit on them and work them month after month and hope that at some point you guys will recoup them, because you can't put a place in or a fix in your system to not pay a claim that shouldn't be paid. So it's just frustrating on our end that we have these funds sitting here. We can't get our AR to show correctly because, Amerigroup won't put a fix in place, and we have to work these credits, and I have to have my staff work these credits over and over and over again.
I'm not sure. This probably is not a good solution because it would take too long. But obviously there are DIA audits that come through that review overpayments of claims. That would be trackable through an audit of them being sent back. I know that's probably, that happened, what, maybe every 18 months to 2 years before you'd actually be able to send those overpayments back. But at least it's trackable at that point as compared to maybe a check that is sent back. It becomes a little bit more difficult. I don't know.
We've actually experienced them recouping even payments that we've refunded in audits as well that I've had to fight for months to get back. So, I mean, that's not even a logical solution at this point because they still end up recouping those funds after we refund them through an audit. So.
Okay.
Hey, this is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. I'm not sure if you've been able to attend one of the town hall meetings, but that would be another forum to get this addressed as well. If you've not been on one, there'll be one coming up here in October.
I think I have not been able to attend one up to this point, but I do have it on my calendar. So I do plan to attend. I just wasn't able to on the last one, but I just honestly would like someone to come up with an answer after asking for so long. Someone needs to look into it and put a fix into it because it's just too much work administratively for us to continuously ask about it, continuously work it, send it to our provider reps and not get a response. Even when, I mean, we have a biweekly meeting and it still has made no progress and it's just very frustrating.
Completely understand. Thanks, Leilani.
Thanks, Brandon.
I'm going to go to the next question because I think point is taken on coinsurance at this point. The next one that we have in the chat, waiver service code T2031 is being recouped on claims back to April of 21. We've been submitting these for years and now they're not being paid accordingly. What has changed and what is the process to refile these? Is an adjustment claim to the original, even though a recoup has taken place? Or do I wait till the recoup is done? Or can I do an adjustment claim now?
I would ask, did they give you the reason for the recoupment? I've not heard of that service code either, so I'm not sure why it would be recouped, unless it was an eligibility issue. And I don't know that a corrected claim would fix the issue until I know why it's being recouped in the first place. if you can send me the claim or claims, affected claims, we can look into it.
IHCA, Julie, what's 2031?
Hey, Brandon, it looks like it's assisted living waiver per diem.
Okay, that's what I thought it was, but I didn't want to say that. I'm like, I think it's the per diem code, right? Yeah.
It is.
That's correct. Okay.
Thank you AL for service. Clarifying.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. All I can think of is if they lost waiver eligibility and sometimes we don't always get the most updated information from IME, but without looking at it, I can't tell you.
Thanks, Julie. Flipping through the chat. This provider's having problems with claims landing in a pending status. They'll sit there for 30 to 45 days. They then have to call provider services to have them sent through again, which takes an additional 30. Any idea what could be causing this or how to bypass an additional 30 days as they all end up paying, but we should not have to wait that long and go through that additional time for payment. And Shasta, I'm not sure what provider type you are representing. I guess I don't know that it matters, but any comments on pending claims or claims sitting in pending status for extended periods of time and maybe why a claim would sit in pending status from Amerigroup?
Um, We've had some backlogs just with the claims analyst team, but I mean, I think our, you know, we're meeting our TAT like over 90-95% of the time. So other than a general backlog, there shouldn't be there for that long. And I question the, if you call and it's another 30 days, that doesn't seem right. If it's in pending status, they can't like pend it again for another 30 days. So that's not quite making sense to me, but it's it.
And she I guess,
correct that it shouldn't take 60 days. I mean, that isn't our standard by any means.
Right. And I don't know, Shasta, if you're able to know or not, but is it a specific type of claim or is it a specific service or I just would be curious for a little bit additional detail on that. Next question is, they're submitting claims to Amerigroup Medicaid with the Z code, but Amerigroup is switching the claim to AmeriVantage and then denying the claim. Why is this happening when the AmeriVantage member ID isn't even on the claim?
John, do you have that information in front of you?
I don't, but let me go look, see if I have it.
In general, I guess I can say, so it is a system issue that we're currently having where it, because of how Iowa does their home health claims, and, you know, and it's obviously a Medicare service, we haven't updated our system to kind of bypass that when Medicare won't cover it. That is still in production to get corrected. I would say if you have a bunch of home health claims that you're seeing that happen, reach out. I believe we can do, we can run a report. I'll have to see if we can do it for everybody or if we have to do it by provider, but we can get those rejections pushed through so you can get paid for that. It is a known issue.
Thanks, Julie. That's another follow-up on the HIPS code issue that they're having issues with. IHCA, Julie, can you look up when the town hall meeting is for October? I got that sent to me while I'm flipping through here.
Yep.
Thank you. And this is another home health provider having claims stuck in pending status for up to 60 days in some instances. Angela, do you have any feedback as to why or what what specific type of claim is being held? Is it a waiver that's being held? Is it your home health, regular home health claims that are being held up? Just curious if there's any correlation at all. This is a comment on disputes are taking a long time to process on availability as well. Is there a known backlog on disputes at this time with Amerigroup through availability?
There is with the dispute team as well, is just in the process of ramping up and hiring more people. So yeah, that it's a little slower than usual as well.
And looks like we had a couple other follow-ups on what they seem to be. It's not the waiver side, it's the home health side of services that seem to be pending for longer periods of time for these two providers. Julie did put the town hall meeting on October 28th from 4 to 5 for providers in the chat as well for you all. That's when that is.
Hey, Brandon, it's Julie. You do have to register for the town hall meeting to get the link. So I also put the URL of the page where they are housing all that information as well.
Thanks, Julie. I'm reading another comment in the chat now. And this one is talking about the AmeriVantage plan and AmeriGroup members and receiving additional denials since the inception of AmeriVantage that didn't exist before, which seems to be mucking the system up more than what it had been. I'm going to check my email, see if I have any questions in there. I don't see anything in my email. Another comment on coinsurance in there, I see. I don't see any other questions in the chat either at this point. Any other comments from our representatives from AmeriGroup today?
I don't have anything extra to add at the end here.
Okay. One question that I just received, is Cherie Smith-Martinez still a provider rep for Northeast Iowa? Julie?
She is, yep.
Okay.
She'll get right. She'll be getting some backup as well, so.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Brandon, I have a question. This is Carrie and I'm from Home Healthcare, and I'm wondering about EVV issues. I've had continuous issues since March, saying that we do not process through CareBridge, which we do. In August and September, all of my claims that were submitted through EVV for AmeriGroup only was denied. When is this issue going to be taken care of?
Are you talking about skilled services, or are you talking about the few that are limited, like the personal care services that are supposed to go through EVV right now?
It's for Homemaker.
Okay.
And they have to go through EVV, which we do. We use mm-hmm. CareBridge, but they all were denied.
So there's some issue with, this is Iowa Home Care, is that right?
Correct.
With your agency and one or two other agencies where somehow the numbers get flipped. We are still trying to figure out, it's an IT problem that we're still sorting out, but we do, you know, at least we do your claims. It just takes longer to get paid every month. But we are well aware of that inaccurate denial and work. We are working with IT on like a daily basis to get that permanently corrected.
Okay.
It's yours and another, I think it's one or two other agencies that are having that issue for some reason. And don't you use a third party vendor? Is that right?
No.
Or did I get that wrong? Okay. That's a different issue. But yeah, there's something they don't like about
okay.
your system. I don't know why, but.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
I would guess that Angela is maybe one of the other providers that are sharing in that same issue.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Okay. Well, thank you to Amerigroup for joining us again today, this month. We'll be having another call in November. Thanks again to the providers for joining and submitting your questions. If you can, or if you think of them, feel free to submit those ahead of time. We'll make sure that we get them at the front of the call, and hope everyone has a good rest of the week. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.